Our sermon lesson for this morning comes from Psalm chapter 17, verses 6 through 15. I'll begin by reading those verses. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down, they now surround me, with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion, hungry for prey, like a great lion crouching in cover. Rise up, O Lord, confront them, bring them down, rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, by your hand, save me from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life. You still the hunger of those you cherish. Their sons have plenty, and they store up wealth for their children. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. This is the word of our Lord. My dear friends in Christ, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Comforting words, aren't they? Many of us have probably heard these words or been reminded of these words on numerous occasions, maybe even just select portions of that psalm. The Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. Comforting words for sure. But yet, there's a question that appears from time to time. This is a question that most of us, if not all of us, have thought or even said out loud to someone else. This is a question that resides as a frequent guest inside our hearts and minds. Where are you, God? Where are you? I know I can think of several specific times in my life when this question came to mind, times when trouble and trial and grief and challenges entered my life. Where are you, God? Today we'll be taking a closer look at that question and how God answers that question for us. Where are you, God? Do you notice this question in our sermon lesson for this morning? David certainly had all the reasons to say and ask a question like that. It seemed like he had grounds to do so as he was describing all the different ways his enemies were making his life miserable. And yet, we don't hear it. Where are you, God? Doesn't come off of David's lips, at least not in this psalm. But don't be mistaken. If you were to take the book of Psalms, read it from end to end, you'd hear many different authors asking that very question. For instance, in Psalm 88, the author describes the different hardships that he had in his life, just as David did. Except in that psalm, we hear the question. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Where are you, God? Why have you not helped me in this time of trouble? Why have you left me when I needed you the most? And yes, we even hear David ask a question like this in Psalm 13 when he asks, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Where are you, God?" In both of those cases, the authors are clear. They're blunt. They don't beat around the bush. Where are you, God? Why haven't you helped me? Why have you left me when I needed you the most? And as we've said, it really seems like David has a good reason to ask such a question. Listen again as David describes what he was enduring. He asked the Lord to save him from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. We don't know at what specific time in David's life he's describing in this psalm, and nor do we know what exactly is happening to David. But we really don't need the specifics to be able to tell that what David is going through is not a pleasant thing at all. We can tell, even just with the details he gave us, that his enemies are making his life miserable. Does David's description of his life strike any chords with any of you? Perhaps you're thinking it kind of describes what you're going through pretty well. Do you have enemies that are all around you, looking to throw their hurtful words at you to cut you down? Are they all around you, it seems? Or are they coming from all different directions? A coworker, a friend, maybe even a family member who tries to take any opportunity they can to cut you down with their attacks and insults and mockery of your faith? And sure, you can answer a few of their questions and criticism, but after time, you just begin to feel frustrated, right? You can answer some of their questions, but not all of them. Overall, you kind of feel unprepared, unequipped, and alone. And then there's the question, where are you, God? Why haven't you been helping me with these attacks? Why have you left me when I needed you the most? A time where I needed your guidance the most. But it doesn't stop with enemies who attack you for your faith. No, this question and this feeling that David must have had can come up in any different kinds of challenges and trials that come up into your life. Perhaps it happens when you feel alone or lonely. Whether it's in the Christmas season as you see all your friends gather up with loved ones and enjoy that time with others, or any other time, that feeling of loneliness can just build and build and build. And then there's the question, where are you, God? Why haven't you helped me through my loneliness? Why have you left me when I needed you the most? A time where I needed your comfort, your company, your love. Or perhaps this feeling and this question comes up when you feel stressed, overworked, too busy. I think that's quite fitting at this time of year as we make our last second hurried preparations for the Christmas celebration. Perhaps this season, which is supposed to bring joy, rest, and relaxation, instead brings about more hurriedness, stress. You feel that you're over your head and you can't do any more. And then there's the question, where are you, God? Why haven't you been helping me through this stress and this workload that I have? Why have you left me when I needed you the most? A time when I needed your peace and rest. It doesn't take too long before we realize that this question, "Where are you, God?" just really naturally flows right off the tongue. Where are you, God? Is something that we can easily say in any of those challenges that I brought up, or really any other hardships that come into our life. Where are you, God? And perhaps it starts as something rather innocent, something with good intentions, as we turn to our Lord in prayer. Where are you, God? I'm hurting. I need your help. I'm alone. I'm afraid. And I know I can't do it by myself. Lord, I need you. But what happens to that question over time? What happens when you have to keep asking that question over and over and over again? What happens when you don't get the answer that you want? Where are you, God? I've asked and I've asked and I've asked, and I don't see you. I don't see you here helping me. Lord, where are you? We like to play God, don't we? We like to give God advice or tell him what to do, give him little pieces of advice here and there because we think that we know better. But really, it all comes down to a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust that God knows what is best for us. It's a lack of trust that God will actually take care of us every waking moment of all our days. It's a lack of trust that God will take care of all the challenges, all the hardships, the enemies that confront us, the loneliness that devours us, the stress that surrounds us. Brothers and sisters, it's a lack of trust that I far too often am guilty of. It's a lack of trust that all of us are far too often guilty of. Where are you, God? So how does God answer our question? I think maybe a better place to start is to ask, how should God answer our question? Or even maybe better put, how should God answer our complaint? He has every right to be angry, doesn't he? Every right to get fed up with our lack of trust in how we treat him. Every right to dismiss, reject, and punish us. Yes, even eternally. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't get fed up with our questions of complaints. He doesn't lose his patience. He doesn't reject, dismiss, or punish us. No, he doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't show us the terrors of his wrath and anger, but instead shows us his love. He shows us the wonders of his love. And oh, what wonders upon wonders his love displays. Just think of all the things that you possess, all the things that you own. Material blessings are from God, showing his love for you. But it most certainly does not stop there. When you were born, God was there. In fact, he was the one who gave you life. And as you went through all the different stages of your life, God was there for each and every single moment. For the good times and the bad times. For the times of joy, for the times of sadness, for pain, for grief, for loss. He's been there for thick and thin. When life threw challenges your way, God was there. When enemies attacked you and tried to knock you down with their insults and mockery, God was there to pick you up and encourage you with his word. When feelings of loneliness devours you, God is there. He is there to remind you that you are not alone. But you have the greatest friend that anyone can ever have, your own eternal Father. He wants you to. He encourages you to. He loves when you talk to Him in prayer. When the feelings of stress and busyness, and maybe even especially in this Christmas season of preparation and busyness, God is there. He's there for you to rely on, to trust in. He's there to tell you to cast all your burdens, all your worries, all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. David tells us that he calls out to the Lord in his time of need. This is not some shot in the dark by David. No, this is a call of confidence because he knows who he's calling out to. It's his Father, his Lord, the one who will answer him, the one who listens to him, the one who will do whatever is best for him. You and I share that same confidence. When we call out to the Lord for any trouble, for any trial, He listens. When we call out to the Lord for anything that comes up in our life, He answers. When we call out to the Lord, He does whatever is best. He shows us wonders upon wonders of His love. David also tells us that God keeps us as the apple of His eye. Now, perhaps if you're like me, you've heard that phrase before. In fact, I think it's probably safe to say that a lot of us have heard that phrase many, many times. And if you're like me, you kind of gloss over it, thinking, well, it sounds pretty good. It must mean something pretty good for me then. I'm here to tell you what a beautiful picture that is. The apple of your eye is the pupil of your eye. Something that is so important to take care of and to protect, to hold near and dear. Something that plays a crucial role for your sight. That's how God takes care of you. He keeps you close. He protects you with His loving arm. He shields you in the shadows of His wing. He keeps you as the apple of His eye. And He will continue to do so until the day He calls us home. And it's there where we will awake in righteousness, in joy, in peace, in true happiness and perfection as we look at our Father face to face for eternity. It's there that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's there where there will be no more sorrow, no more anger, no more pain, no more loss, no more fear, no more enemies, no more loneliness, no more stress. Only bliss as God shows us the wonders of His love. And until that day comes, you and I get to marvel at these wonders of His love. You and I, tomorrow, get to hear another example of that. The greatest example, the greatest wonder of His love that He has ever shown. A baby lying in a manger. Amen.